You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org. Right now, this year and every year, giant oil, gas, and coal multinationals and nationalized fossil fuel countries are spending a large part of their income trying to find new fields, more wells, and new mines. They are pushing national governments to support or even fund more pipelines, train lines, ports, and infrastructure. You know, you're seeing it in the news all around you. They want to make more carbon power happen. Media is carefully crafted to make us fearful of a change, to make us support more subsidies and cheap permissions. A powerful new report details why the atmosphere cannot withstand any more exploration and development by the fossil fuel industry or the national states. But even this information, startling as it may be for the public and investors, doesn't go far enough to avoid a climate catastrophe. After the interview, I'll explain why.
Radio EcoShock.
How much greenhouse gas will come from our existing energy system as it is with no further exploration or development? Those numbers, believe it or not, are hard to get. A group called Oil Change International found the figures, and they've released them in a free report. The title is The Sky's the Limit: Why the Paris Climate Goals Require a Managed Decline of Fossil Fuel Production. To talk about all this, we've reached David Turnbull. He's the campaigns director of Oil Change International and a contributor to this new report. David, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thanks so much for having me.
You know, right now in the United States, Native Americans are trying to stop the Dakota Access Pipeline construction. And at the same time, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau must decide whether to allow a pipeline expansion from the tar sands to Vancouver Harbor. What does your report say about new pipeline construction?
Our report comes to a pretty clear conclusion, which is that any new fossil fuel infrastructure that will incentivize new development is off limits if we want to actually achieve the goals that we've set forward when it comes to the climate. So those pipelines, the Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota, the Kinder Morgan Pipeline in Canada, and any pipelines really that will actually incentivize new fossil fuel development need to be off the table.
People are fighting wars right now in the Middle East with the hopes of building new pipelines from Qatar and through Turkey and all sorts of things. So this has geopolitical implications as well as climate implications.
That's absolutely right. And of course, climate change itself has huge geopolitical implications. We're seeing major conflicts being arisen because of the impacts of climate change in Africa and elsewhere, where resource wars and concerns and issues arising from droughts and other climate impacts are so impactful on geopolitics. This report, it is incredibly important for geopolitics because of the power of the fossil fuel industry around the world. What we're saying is that they need to stop digging new mines, new wells, and we need our government to take action to make sure that's the case. It's a big result, but it's also backed by science, and it's something that we have to achieve.
Well, we'll get into how you did the report, but meanwhile, I have to say the fossil fuel industry spends billions and billions looking for new sources of oil and gas. It's part of their game. It's how they keep their share prices up, depending on claiming those new reserves. How can they keep share prices up and their business going if they just stop exploring for more?
It's a good question, and it actually points to a problem that we have with the way that fossil fuel industries are valued by investors and Wall Street. As you say, they need to keep finding new fossil fuels if they want to keep their stock price high. But what we now know is that finding those new fossil fuels is really anathema to taking action on climate change. So we need to figure out a way for governments to pursue a managed decline of the fossil fuel industry, where we move away from fossil fuels quickly.
And what about countries which are still heavily reliant on coal? I'm thinking of India and China. What does this report say to them?
Well, there's a really important point around India in particular, which is that, you know, some of these countries have not really been a huge part of the problem of climate change historically. Of course, now we see emissions rising around the world, but the historic nature of climate change is such that a country like India has not contributed nearly as much to the problem as the United States or other rich countries. So what we're seeing and what a lot of people are calling for is for rich countries to help ensure that there's support that is needed to help poorer countries around the world, particularly like in Africa, to ensure that they are able to move beyond fossil fuels to help bring energy access to their poor communities, but do it in a way that skips over fossil fuels and goes straight to renewable energy. And they need support from rich countries like the United States and in Europe to help make that a reality.
You know, I've interviewed hundreds of scientists now at this point, and I've developed this gut feeling personally that if we want to keep the climate we evolved with, we can't burn any more fossil fuels. But David Turnbull, your group's report isn't really saying that. It isn't saying stop burning today, is it?
That's right. We're not saying that we need to turn off the taps overnight. We recognize that we need to have a rapid transition away from fossil fuels. That means both rapid, we need to do it quickly, but it is a transition. We need to recognize that we can't shift to renewable energy completely overnight, but we need to do so quickly. And our analysis shows that the current mines, the current wells of fossil fuels around the world are enough to bring us to the brink of climate chaos. So we certainly need to stop digging new mines and wells, and we need to find a way to actually close some of those existing mines early and transition to renewables as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, according to the calculations in this report, we can't even allow the existing oil and gas fields or the coal mines to pump out all they've got before they close them. Is that correct?
That's correct. We've looked at two different temperature goals when we're making our analysis. So the first is a 2 degrees above pre-industrial levels of warming. That's a goal that's been agreed for a number of years by global governments around the world. And it's one that a lot of people say is the maximum that we can see if we want to achieve climate safety. But there's a second goal, which is 1.5 degrees. That's half a degree less of warming. And recently, there's been a lot of discussion about that actually being the safest level of warming that we can withstand, or the highest level of warming that we can withstand. So what we've seen in our analysis is that if we want to achieve 1.5 degrees of warming or less, we can't burn all of the fossil fuels that are in the existing fossil fuel development projects. And even if we were to shut off coal immediately, the oil and gas and the wells that are already dug could also bring us past that 1.5 degree goal. So the short story is, yes, we may have to look at shutting down some of those mines and wells before their lifespan is complete. And that's going to be a really challenging thing to do, but it's something that the science is pointing towards.
I guess all of us are wondering, myself and our listeners, what international or national laws could possibly limit the production of these mega corporations and their ability to bribe and fund political elections? Can anybody really stop them from producing as much as they can sell?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that we're seeing a global movement already developing to keep fossil fuels in the ground, standing up to basically every single major fossil fuel infrastructure project in the North American continent, let alone across the world. So, you know, there's communities that are standing up in amazing ways to stop new fossil fuel development. If you coupled that with real, strong, serious government action to limit fossil fuel production on federal lands, to stop fossil fuel subsidies, we're talking about billions of dollars each year of government money going to support fossil fuel development. If you saw strong government action that really sort of came on the heels of this amazing community action, yeah, we could stand up to the industry and turn them around.
So, David, why is it so difficult to find out the amount of greenhouse gases our current fossil fuel infrastructure is producing?
Well, you know, the information's out there, but it's really dispersed. You have to compile all of these different companies of annual reports and reporting to the governments and such. And so we've worked by looking at a database, an industry database, not a lot of nonprofits actually have access to, but we've gained access to it, and we're using it to look at these reserves and really get a full, complete picture and understanding.
Who put up the money to get what you needed for the report?
We're funded by a number of different foundations that are concerned about addressing climate change, as well as individual donors or supporters around the country. It's a decent investment, but you know, we like to think that at Oil Change International, we're helping to democratize that data. We're helping to bring it to the public forum and ensure that everyone that needs to be aware of what's really going on in the fossil fuel industry is aware of that.
You are tuned to Radio EcoShock. My name is Alex Smith, and my guest is David Turnbull, the campaign director for the nonprofit group Oil Change International. We're looking at their new report, which says, if we want to avoid a catastrophic climate shift, the days of exploring for more oil and gas and coal, or building new pipelines and ports, those days are over. Well, David, some of the Middle Eastern countries routinely hide or misreport their oil and gas assets. How does anybody know how big their reserves are?
You know, there's a bit of a combination of geology, just simply having a scientific understanding of what those formations actually look like, and, you know, some investigative sort of analysis. The people behind the fossil fuel industry database that we've been working with, you know, they're experts. They spend a night and day looking at this stuff, and they make what may actually be conservative estimates of what's out there. And whether we're off by a small amount here or there, we don't think we are, but the scale of the problem is so abundantly clear that the misreporting or potential, you know, differences in specific numbers doesn't change the actual conclusion, which is that we know we have far too many fossil fuels out there, and our existing fossil fuel development will bring us past what we want to achieve in terms of climate safety.
Well, Bill McKibben of 350.org has written about the terrible new math, and he quotes this report. What sort of numbers are in this report?
So some of the numbers that Bill cites, which are sort of at the heart of our analysis, is that scientists, climate scientists, have said if we want to have a two-thirds chance of staying below those 2 degrees of Celsius of global warming, we can release 800 gigatons more CO2 into the atmosphere. But what our data shows, or the data that we've accessed and analyzed shows, is that current coal mines, oil and gas wells, and fossil fuel development currently operation have 942 gigatons worth of CO2 embedded in them. So as Bill says, the math problem is quite simple. 942 gigatons is far bigger than 800 gigatons, which climate scientists say is the safe amount. And so that's our problem. If you want to look even further at the 1.5 degree goal, which many around the world, including all global leaders, actually have signed up to, aspiring to stay close to, that 800 gigatons actually goes down to 353 gigatons of CO2 being the safe amount that we can emit moving forward. So again, 942 gigatons worth of CO2 in the fossil fuel development projects around the world, and only 353 gigatons of that is actually safe if we want to hit our 1.5 degree global warming target.
Well, you know, that's interesting, because the SEC, the organization in charge of the American Stock Exchange, are investigating Exxon's reporting of their assets, but they're doing it because the price of oil has fallen so much and Exxon still has it marked very high on their books. But there may be another reason to investigate those assets if the figures in your report are true, because they just won't be able to burn perhaps only a third of what they claim.
That's right. You know, we think that new fossil fuel development is a terrible investment, and we're seeing that shift amongst a number of financial experts and institutional investors. That's a large part of the global fossil fuel divestment movement, is not only a moral question of whether we should be investing our money and our retirement funds and other finances in these companies that are bringing about climate chaos, but also, frankly, is it actually a good investment? And more, that question is a serious one, and it's one that a lot of investors are answering with a no. this isn't a good investment because some of these fossil fuels are going to stay in the ground, because we know that our governments are going to take strong action to address climate change, because the world is so calling and demanding for that action to take place. So, you know, the SEC investigation of Exxon is a really interesting moment. It's a really interesting initiative by SEC to really question this accounting practice of Exxon, but also more broadly for the oil and fossil fuel industry writ large. There's a question of whether these assets that they're spending a lot of money and investment to find and to put onto their books are actually worth much because of that fact that we're going to need to keep them in the ground.
So, David Turnbull, what kind of decline do we need? How much and how fast? Do we know that yet?
Well, we know we need to be off fossil fuels in the next couple decades, really. If you want to achieve 1.5 degrees of warming, of staying below 1.5 degrees of warming, we're talking about moving off of fossil fuels completely in a very short while. If you're talking about 2 degrees of warming, you might have until the middle of the century, but that's being a little bit, that's giving some leeway. But we're really talking about a couple decades here to really take a serious global action to move away from fossil fuels. So time is short. And we're not saying turn off the taps for fossil fuels overnight, but we're saying we need to move quickly and really, really strongly away from fossil fuels. And that's why we subtitled this report talking about the need for a managed decline of the fossil fuel industry. We need our governments to take action, to work with the industry to move away from fossil fuels. And if we take that initiative now, we can do so in a way that allows for renewable energy to rise up and replace the fossil fuel industry in an organized fashion. If we wait a decade or longer, it's going to be a much more disruptive situation if we actually want to take the necessary action. Taking it now is a manageable situation. Taking it later is a much more difficult prospect.
Realistically, do we know whether alternative energy sources can be scaled up and built quickly enough to stay at 2 degrees C global mean heating or below?
The good news is that we do think that it's the case that we can scale up renewable energy in time. Our report, The Sky's Limit, references a number of different studies from Stanford professors and other academics that lay out plans to achieve 100% renewable energy in the time that we need to in order to achieve our climate goals. It can do so in a way that also presents a just transition for the workers in the fossil fuel industry so that they can be retrained, they can have assistance programs to ensure that they're taken along in this transition and not left behind. But the good news of this report, if they're, you know, amidst all of the scary news, is that we can do it. That the analysis is there. The renewable energy industry is booming. Solar, wind, geothermal, all of these energy renewable energy technologies are becoming far cheaper and far more available, and that's exactly what we need.
Before this report, I have to admit I hadn't heard of Oil Change International. Where did this group come from?
We're just over a decade old, and we come from a number of different individuals. Our founder, Steve Kretzman, has been working on campaigns to move away from oil for a couple of decades, 25 years even, and we're full of campaigners and researchers who have been working on this issue for years. And we're really focused on ensuring that we are exposing the true costs of fossil fuels for our climate, for our communities, so that we can break down the barriers to a clean energy transition. So we put out reports like The Sky's Limit and other reports to expose what the real problem is, what the real problems with different pipeline proposals are, and those sorts of issues that are in the forefront of our politics. And we campaign hard with our supporters to push against these ill-sought proposals.
How can our listeners help get this report out there and working?
So we encourage everyone to go to priceofoil.org, which is our website, and read the report. Call your decision makers, call your legislators, your congresspeople, tell them about it, tell your friends about it, and just do whatever you can to organize in your communities against fossil fuel projects. There are so many out there, and there are so many amazing community uprisings and resistance, and I couldn't encourage you more to join in.
Can you give us any hints about the next project Oil Change International will be working on?
Well, we're going to be working on really trying to implement what the logical conclusion of this report is, which is no new fossil fuel development. So we're working to try to make sure that our U.S. government is planning for that scenario, and that includes developing energy models that can look at what our fossil fuel use looks like if we are actually achieving our climate goals, and then basing decision-making off of that kind of a model. What we've seen is that we need to stop fossil fuel development. We want the government to take that on board as they consider new energy policy. So we're going to be working towards that so-called climate test, pushing that forward in our decision-making so that our government can plan for success in achieving our climate goals rather than plan for failure.
I'm Alex Smith, talking with David Turnbull. He's the campaigns director of Oil Change International and a contributor to the report titled The Sky's the Limit. You'll find links to all this in my weekly show blog at ecoshock.info or go directly to the website priceofoil.org. David, thank you so much for your work and for talking with us today on Radio EcoShock.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Alex Smith reporting.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.